welcome to the conference center. Please enter your passcode followed by the hash.
Please enter your PIN followed by.
Your passcode has been confirmed. Please wait while you are joined to the conference. The conference is now being recorded.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for patiently holding. The conference is expected to start in some time. Please continue to hold. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the conference call of Route Mobile Limited, arranged by Concept Investor Relations to discuss its Q1 FY23 results. We have with us today Mr. Rajdeep Kumar Gupta, Managing Director and Group CEO, Mr. Gautam Badalia, Group Chief Strategy Officer and Chief Investor Relations Officer, and Mr. Suresh Jankar, Chief Financial Officer. At this moment, all participants are in the listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. At this time, if you have a question, please press star and 1 on your telephone keypad. Please note that this conference is being recorded. Before we begin, I would like to remind you that some of the statements made in today's evening earning call may be forward-looking in nature and may involve certain risks and uncertainties. Kindly refer to slide number 2 for the presentation for the delayed disclaimer. I now hand the call over to Mr. Rajdeep Gupta, Managing Director and Group CEO. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. Wishing all of you good health and prosperity. Despite global headwinds and the geopolitical situation, we had an excellent start of financial year 23 with 93% year-on-year growth and 16% sequential growth. Our structured approach, diversified global scale of operation and critical execution capabilities have been the bedrock for such consistent performance. We are well on track to achieve our 40% revenue growth guidance for 23, financial year 23. In fact, looking at the current growth momentum, we are striving to achieve over 50% year-on-year growth in FY23. The following are some of the key highlights of the quarter gone by. We continue to gain significant market share in India, and some of the large BFSI clients that we had won in the last financial year are slated to go live towards the tail end of financial year 23. The deep integration required for such clients take approximately 4 to 6 months, which is why there is a lag. However, once completed, this relationship becomes a very sticky proposition. We are in the process of integrating all platforms that we had acquired during the last financial year, and we should see the synergy benefit of this integration paying out from the next quarter onwards, next few quarter onwards, in fact. As a part of our rapid initiative, we have opened a center of excellence in Bengaluru for our research and development initiative. In terms of conversational commerce, we are witnessing a good traction from enterprises in digitizing their customer transaction experience over business messaging platforms such as WhatsApp, Viber, and Facebook. We onboarded clients like Coca-Cola in UAE, where they have digitized the customer transaction experience over WhatsApp business messaging. During the quarter gone by, we have added 76 employees and 66 employee resigned in quarter Q1 FY23. We believe that the attrition level will normalize to historical level in couple of quarters. In LATAM, as highlighted during the last quarter earning call, we are expanding in Chile, Mexico, and Ecuador. Further, the technology team at Mesavian is building an omnichannel platform that will be orchestrated the personalized communication through AI and ML and have customer data platform capability embedded into it. This development cost of about 59 million INR is being capitalized in Q1 FY23. Further, in terms of our capital allocation strategy, we have done well with our geographical expansion strategy through organic and inorganic initiatives. Currently, our immediate priority in terms of our inorganic strategy is to augment our existing product portfolio with a few cutting-edge futuristic technologies. Some of these proposed acquisitions may not warrant significant capital to be deployed. Hence, considering the current capital commitments plus the proposed acquisition, we may have surplus cash from the next 2 years roadmap perspective, which are returning to our shareholder through open market buyback program of up to 1200 million that was launched earlier this month. In addition to buyback, we intend to increase the dividend payout ratio as part of our stated dividend policy and link the dividend payout ratio up to 40% of the free cash generated over FY23 to 25. Last but not the least, it gives me immense pleasure to highlight that Route Mobile is again listed as Tier 1 position in both MNO and Enterprise edition of A2P Messaging Vendor Benchmarking Report by ROCO. With this, I will now turn it over to Gautam to take us through the financial. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Razi. Good evening, everyone. Hope you and your family are safe and fine. We have already uploaded our quarterly earnings presentation on our website as well as on the stock exchanges websites. Hope you had a chance to go through the presentation. I'll quickly summarize our financial and operating performance during Q1 FY23 before opening the floor for Q&A. The key takeaway from our financial performance in Q1 FY23 has been the strong revenue growth momentum. Revenue growth of 93% on a YOY basis and 16% on a sequential basis, coupled with significant expansion of margins. Adjusted PAT grew by 131%. On a YOY basis and 38% on a sequential basis. As highlighted earlier, Q1 is traditionally not our strongest quarter, and yet we have delivered an industry-leading growth. In volume terms, we have processed over 24.8 billion transactions, 8 billion billable transactions in Q1, as against 52 billion billable transactions in FY22, which is again the highest quarterly billable volumes processed by us till date. Such exemplary financial performance in Q1 FY23 has laid a very strong foundation for a superlative FY23 full year financial performance. With this backdrop, let me walk you through our financial performance. Revenue from operations grew by 93% from ₹3,775 million in Q1 FY22 to ₹7,290 million in Q1 FY23. There was a sequential growth of 16%. In terms of certain KPIs, billable transactions increased from 7 billion in Q1 FY22 and 18 billion in Q4 FY22 to 25 billion in Q1 FY23. Average realization per billable transaction reduced to 29.4 paisa compared to 35 paisa last quarter, owing to lower average realization per billable transaction in Masivian, increase in domestic enterprise business in India, and lower average realization. We had a net revenue retention of 125%. You may refer to slide 17 of the earnings presentation for the same. We added over 200 new customers in Q1 FY23 across all products. Gross profit margin expanded from 20.4% in Q1 FY22 and 21.1% in Q4 FY22. to 22.4% in Q1 FY23. In terms of operating overheads, employee benefit expenses decreased by 2.8% from INR 398 million in Q4 FY22 to INR 387.3 million in Q1 FY23. The decrease was on account of capitalization of salary cost amounting to INR 59 million. This pertained to the cost incurred by the R&D team at Masivian. Masivian is augmenting the capabilities of their omnichannel platform by adding layers like AI/ML and customer data platform capabilities. In addition to that, we have also completed our annual increments in the quarter gone by. And in terms of ESOPs, there was a non-cash charge of INR 72 million going to grant of 7,36,000 stock options to eligible employees of Route Mobile and its subsidiaries under the RML ESOP 2021 scheme. 65,000 ESOPs were cancelled during the same period owing to non-performance slash exit of the employees. 76 new employees were onboarded in Q1 FY22-23, while 66 employees resigned during the same period. Adjusted for the same, EBITDA grew by 75% on a YOY basis from 491 million in Q1 FY22 to 860 million in Q1 FY23. Sequentially, EBITDA grew by 23% from 697 million in Q4 FY22 to 860 million in Q1 FY23. EBITDA margin stood at 11.8% in Q1 FY23 as compared to 11.1% in Q4 FY22. Amortization related to intangibles identified on account of acquisitions stood at 148 million INR. Finance cost relating to unwinding cost on account of acquisitions stood at INR 34 million. Effective tax rate for the quarter was 14%. We had a deferred tax credit of 57 million INR. Adjusted profit for tax grew by 131% YOY from 377 million INR in Q1 FY22 to 872 million in Q1 FY23 as compared to rupees 634 million in Q4 FY22. Adjusted PAT margin was 12% in Q1 FY23 as against 10% in Q1 FY22 and 10.1% in Q4 FY22. With this, we open the floor for Q&A.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. First question is from the line of Keval Shah from Banyan Tree Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yep.
Yeah, hi. Good evening. Congratulations for a good set of numbers. So I had two questions. First, I'm looking at the number of billable transactions. So what boosted the number? And second is on RCS. Because I think in the last year you started monetizing RCS. So what was the current contribution in the revenue and how are the margin profiles there? Thanks.
Keval, can you repeat your second query?
So I wanted to know what is the current contribution of RCS to the overall revenue and what is the margin profile there?
Okay, well, I'll just start with the second question, Rajdeep here. Right now, in India, I think Google has just pulled out the RCS, I think from last 2 months. So probably there is hardly any revenue in last quarter coming from RCS, but it may be in few lakhs only, because it was only live for a month.
Okay.
Otam, you can just answer the first question.
In terms of the billable transactions, 24.8 billion transactions were billed during the quarter.
Yeah, so what was the reason of it was close to like 50% of FY22, so what boosted the number? Because if I see the revenue per transaction, it is much lower.
No, so the revenue per transaction, I mean, on a unit economics basis, because of, I think, I did mention it during the commentary that because of the increase in volumes in Masivian and increase in volumes owing to our increased business in India, domestic business, the realizations have dropped. And since these are low price markets, volume tends to be very high. And hence that led to significant ramp up of volumes.
Okay, sure. Thanks.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Abhishek Bhandari from Nomura. Please
call is now being recorded.
Hello.
Yeah, hi.
Hello. Am I audible, Rajdeep? Yeah, Rajdeep, thank you, and, you know, very strong guidance, so congratulations on that. Rajdeep, I just had one very basic industry-level question. I think you might have seen one of your big competitors recently spoke about, you know, one of the telecom companies taking over one of their clients by offering very low pricing. Now, I was just curious to know from you whether do you see this as an industry trend or do you think it's one-off? And what kind of services do you think in your portfolio are at more risk, you know, for such kind of things to happen?
Abhishek, to be honest, I think even the operator who has taken that contract may maybe just one kind of a strategic call they have taken. And post that RFP, I don't see any of other RFP gone that low. You know, so I think there might be some strategic call coming either from us or from them, you know, like there's one time. And as far as if you see the risk, probably I see there is a different use cases are increasing day by day in entire CPaaS communication channels, you know, and we see a volume growth as well as not only in messaging piece, but as it's on a different channel of communication, whether it's a Viber or WhatsApp or RCS or email as well, you know. So if it's a risk-wise, for me, I don't see there's a risk, but I feel more use cases are going to be adopted by enterprises in coming years down the line. And we may have a different shift from messaging to another channel, but different channels may be used and different use cases will evolve.
So just to clarify, do you mean to say SMS part of a business is at risk if the telecom companies want to go aggressive here?
It is not at risk at all because the SMS volume is increasing every quarter on quarter as an entire market, right? Because there are so many use cases are being utilized for SMSs also. I mean to say that even for WhatsApp messaging or Viber or voice or email, that volume is also increasing every quarter. That's the trend we see.
Okay. Thank you. Rajdeep, my second question is, you know, when we, you know, look at some of the public statement by the telecom companies, you know, the largest one is speaking very aggressive, you know, having very aggressive plans on CPaaS business as such. And frankly speaking, if you look at it, you know, the size of the industry is not really very large that it can accommodate multiple players. Do you think, you know, the kind of areas where the telecom companies are going to focus on will be significantly different from the places where we are focusing?
Definitely. See, if you see global market, you know, there are only 8 or 10 large global players who are driving most of the volume. You know, like including Route Mobile, if you talk with the tier one global CPaaS player. So there might be some operators, they have their aspiration to become a CPaaS player, but definitely CPaaS player requires lots of, you know, like groundwork in terms of support, you know, in terms of turnaround time. So I think operators coming to this space, maybe they will not serve the enterprise customer the way we are serving right now as an aggregator or as a CPaaS player. And that's why if you see the trend all across the globe, there are hardly one or two operators who have ever launched this kind of services out of 900 plus operators. Because they always believe that working with the CPaaS player is more sensible for them because we can commit revenue, we can get the revenue, and we can take care of all the other parts of the logistics at our end. They are only focused to providing the connectivity and we bring everything to them. And that is a very simple trend from last 20 years which I have seen. None of the operators globally have ever tried to get into this space by themselves.
Thank you. Mr. Abhishek Bhandari, we may request that you return to the question queue for the follow-up questions as there are several participants waiting for their turn. Next question is from the line of Dipesh Mehta from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and congrats for strong execution. A couple of questions, starting with the macro question. Now, we are seeing, let's say, significant macro uncertainty. Plus, startup ecosystem is also seeing some implication because of that. Do you think this environment will pose some challenges to volume growth for us, India as well as outside of India? Because now we are global and expanding our presence outside India. So some of those geographies facing more challenge than India. So if you can provide some perspective about anticipated volume growth now versus, let's say, at the beginning of quarter? Any changes you are seeing? Second question is about the margin outlook. I think if you can help us, what kind of margin one should expect for FY23? I think you earlier indicated about revenue outlook, but if you can provide some sense on margin. Last question is if you can share some OCF data, so operating cash flow generated during the quarter. Thank you.
Pratham, you want to take this?
Yeah, sure. So, Dipesh, in terms of macro uncertainty, I think, definitely, Razi, when he started, I think the headwinds that's there globally, that's there for, all companies across. But within that, I mean, we've been able to win a lot of market share from competition. And from our perspective, a lot of communication that goes through our platform are critical communication, so to say. And hence, we don't see that being affected significantly, I mean, from a volume that we process perspective. But definitely some amount of promotional or discretionary spend, I mean, that would kind of come down. But that we are kind of increasingly also seeing that being offset by clients around travel, hospitality, where we see increased traction coming. So, at the time of COVID, I mean, some of these industries were affected, but the other industries were contributing more than their share. And we believe some of that, will come back to the other industries like travel, hospitality, retail, and stuff. So there may be some impact, but at this point in time, I mean, the momentum and the kind of run rate that you're clocking even for the current month, we don't, we are not witnessing any effect, so to say, I mean, in terms of slowdown or our volumes getting impacted. In terms of margin outlook, I think we had articulated in our previous earnings call that we are, for this financial year, we are looking at an expansion of 100 to 150 basis points. On our adjusted Q4 EBITDA. On a reported basis, we are kind of guiding an EBITDA of about 11.5% to 12% between that range for the full year. Sorry, Dipesh, what was your third query? I just missed that.
Operating cash flow generated during the quarter.
So, Dipesh, I just want to highlight here, operating cash flow was positive, but it was to some extent impacted because of a potential price hike that was kind of planned. I mean, in India, the ILDO pricing had increased. So there were a few large customers where we had the POs which had to be renewed because of the price hike, I mean, which was slated to happen from 3rd of July. So, and hence some of those large customers, there have been some impact on the receivable side. So receivable side, the days sales outstanding had increased marginally, which has kind of eaten into the operating cash flow. But having said that, some of those receivables, I mean, are from the largest of clients, and once some of these POs have already been renewed, and the payments have also been processed by some of those large entities. So from an OCF perspective, as guided earlier, we are guiding an OCF on a full year basis of about 70-75% OCF conversion. I mean cash conversion.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Anil Nahata, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Gautam, couple of questions around the margin. The first question is around the large bank deal that we won and that was reported by HDFC Security in the report as well as other places. What kind of gross margins are there? I mean, is it gross margin negative level or it is EBITDA negative level, that deal?
Okay. Anil, let me answer your question. And thanks for asking this question.
because there is already a lot of misleading information is being shared in the market or the media. I think I want to make sure I clarify all this. First of all, we are the L2 for that particular project, and L1 is one large operator. And there is another vendor, which is L3. So for that particular bank, L1 gets 60% of the traffic, L2 gets 30% of the traffic, and L3 gets 10% of the traffic. We took a strategic call to have this account, and plus all the PSU banks, there is no DLT charges applies. So they are by default exempted from the DLT charges. We as a company have hosted SMSC with two operators where we get revenue share also for every single SMSS we terminate over there. So combined, if you see overall, we always have the upper hand to make sure to take some strategic call if required in coming year or in past, and to have certain customers like this. Just to share with you all, we were serving this customer for the last 3 years. We were already onboarded as an in-panel vendor with this customer for the last 3 years. We were serving only for their promotional traffic, and it took almost 8 months for us to integrate with that particular bank. So I think this not happened overnight. And we were very clear that what all we are taking, because the traffic is only going to be 30%, and if there is going to be any margin impact, we will handle that. But if you see now, overall combined margin for GP for India is over 23%.
So the Indian margins are at 23% is what you said, overall.
Overall combined margin, whatever traffic we do now.
So that is NLD plus ILD?
Combined, let's say, all intra-traffic.
And that includes the SMSC kind of revenues also, the platform revenue?
Everything is a combined.
Okay. So, Gautam, my request is, going forward, if you can kindly consider to give a couple of breakups in your quarterly reports. One is on the breakup between the platform and the revenues and margins versus the messaging one. And second,
so Anil, I think we will not like to talk about the platform play. We are a CPaaS player, and we are very proud to known as a CPaaS player. Okay. Because we already have a platform which is operator-driven, which we have our firewall deployed with 10 operators. We know what this platform, but we want to known as a CPaaS player is more important than segregating our revenue or platform. Because if you see, our 365 squared is a complete platform revenue, which is firewall solution. But I think we are following a particular protocol from last so many quarters. I think we will continue to do this way.
Fair enough. I appreciate that point of view. Only other question I have on the gross margin is, would it be possible to sort of think India termination accounts for nearly 45% of the termination and the rest of the world is another 50%? Would it be possible to share the kind of, just like you said right now, the Indian gross margin at 23% on this quarterly presentation? If you can break that out, that will be very helpful. That's all for my
question. Definitely take your advice, and thank you for sharing that, and we will collectively take a call on that. Thank you. We will think over it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Ashish Chopra from GSAM. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations to the team on a strong start to the year. firstly, my question was, Rajdeep or Gautam, the gross margin that expanded this quarter by almost 130 basis points, could you just maybe help us through what were the factors that drove that, and especially in the wake of the fact that realizations had gone down. So was this entirely MRM, or was there any other factor also that drove the same?
Ashish, good question. It's a combination of MRM, Root Mobile, and Masavian. We have taken a collective call last quarter that we will make sure we will increase pricing for ILD customers, because most of the ILD customers, they are stick with us because of our quality of services. And there are many customers who end up paying higher price and they are still using our services, and including some of the large OTT players. Instead of getting 20 million traffic from them every day, we are happy to get 10 million at higher price. And that was another reason this ILD also impacted in our gross margin. And we are going to take this call in coming quarters also. We will try to focus more on a margin-based scenario rather than just a volume-based. In spite of that, our volume is also increasing. And because I think now OTT player or the large ILD customers, they are definitely looking out for a quality of services. And I think our area focus is going to be on that side rather than more on volume for those. And yes, there is definitely MRM and Mesavian did add it. Gautam, if you want to add on this.
Yeah, sure. So, Ashish, so the reason for margin expansion, as Rajiv highlighted, Mesavian definitely, I mean, has led to the expansion of margin. Plus, we've seen a very strong growth in, Mesavian and Mr. Messaging both have contributed to the expansion of margin. In addition to that, we have now our domestic enterprise business in India has increased quite a bit. And the domestic enterprise business is a very high margin business. And so these were some of the factors that led to significant, the kind of expansion that we've seen on the gross margin.
Ashish, just to add, there are few banks we have integrated in last quarter, and now we start getting traffic from that. It is not the SBI, but I'm talking about Bank of India and Bank of Baroda and IDBI Bank. So those are a few customers.
Understood. So how should we think about maybe the gross margin trajectory going forward as you maybe reprice some of your OTT or ILD customers and as the India enterprise business increases? Is there a target margin at the gross level that you believe you will be able to get to once you are maybe through with the bulk of this exercise, or do you think that this is a very defensible margin going forward as you grow volumes?
Ashish, we always have the aspiration to grow our margin up to 30% because we believe that margin over WhatsApp, voice, email are much higher than SMS, you know. So I think right now we are focusing about between 21 to 25% is what in next 1 year, 2 years down the line. But we always have a vision to achieve over 30% margin in coming few years.
Understood. And just in terms of the employee expenses this quarter, so I think based on the discussion last quarter, you had mentioned that the 38, 39 crores of employee expenses, there was a residual 5 crores to come from MRM acquisition and 3 to 4 crores from the salary revisions. So we were expecting to go up to 47, 48. But I think even after adjusting for the R&D team of Mesavian, the adjustment that you took there, I think it's around 40 to 43 crores this quarter. So where did the savings come from? Was it simply the fact that the 66 exits were higher than you anticipated and this goes back up, or is there something else?
Ashish, the thing is, I think the last quarter, there were certain one-offs that we had incurred in that quarter in terms of staff welfare and stuff. That is not there in this quarter, and that has actually led to the delta.
Okay. And Gautam, you also, I think, last quarter had shared a bridge in terms of the contribution from the acquired entities. Could you just help us with the same for this quarter as well?
In terms of revenue, yeah, I'll give you the numbers.
Yeah.
So Call to Connect did a revenue of 8.34 crores. 365 Squared did about 1.5 million euros. Mr. Messaging did about 1670 million in terms of revenue, and Mesavian did about 470 million in terms of revenue.
Okay, that's very helpful. And in the new products, you have enlisted quite a lot of them, right, in terms of email, voice, RCS, WhatsApp, FB Messenger. RCS obviously was marginal this time, but currently in your base of revenues from new products, are there any one or two of these which are dominating the bulk of the share, or is it spread across all of these other products except RCS?
No, I think, Ashish, if you say WhatsApp and Viber is also contributing well, because our Viber product in Bangladesh is really doing well over there, and WhatsApp is definitely one product. Email is also adding lots of revenue. So it's a combined, you know, like.
So I think it's spread across all products, but IP messaging, I mean, is something where we see very high traction from enterprises.
Understood. And one last question from me. Could you just elaborate a little bit more on the adjustment around Mesavian? I couldn't fully understand the non-cash intangible assets under development that you took of 59 million this quarter.
Sure. So, Ashish, we are trying to develop a platform and Messivian. I mean, largely to start with, it would be for the Latin market, where this platform will be able to orchestrate a lot of capabilities around AI, ML, and CDP. So, Messivian team has already taken the initiative of developing that product, for which we've identified a dedicated R&D team, and the amount of $559 million that's been capitalized is essentially the cost that is attributable to the development of that in the quarter gone by. And as per the project report that we have, this product or this platform should be up and running. I mean, the kind of R&D expense that we're looking at for this should be within the $2 million dollars value.
Okay, so this is a cost which will be incurred in the future quarters as well, considering that this is work in progress, but you will call it out separately over and above the employee costs.
That's correct.
Understood. Got it. Great. Yeah, thanks so much for answering my question. That's it for my end.
Thanks, Ajish.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Manik Taneja from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity, and my apologies that I joined late, and thereby this might be repetitive. I just wanted to understand from you as to how are you seeing the adoption of WhatsApp and other channels, given the increase in pricing by WhatsApp. And secondly, also wanted to understand from you, given some of your large OTT or digital native customers are trying to convince the government on the changes to ILD pricing. So if you could help us understand on that front. Thank you.
Manik, what was the first question? Sorry.
So my first question was with regards to the increase in pricing for WhatsApp. That played an impact in terms of numbers this quarter, and how is that impacting the adoption by customers? Thank you.
So not exactly, Manik. There are lots of POCs being done as we speak, and probably we will see more WhatsApp accounts in this particular quarter. In spite of price increase, there are different use cases. It all depends. You know, the digital adoption is more about what use cases and what kind of user engagement the enterprise are looking at. And based on different use cases, WhatsApp can be a best customer support, scenario where customer support can be move to entirely on WhatsApp for business. So there are many customers who are paying higher price because they see value in WhatsApp because there are lots of problems is being solved. So it depends on use case basis. We don't see any kind of changes, and we do see adoption ratios increasing day by day over WhatsApp.
Sure. And my other question was,
about some of our large OTT players talking about price decrease or something like that, right? About in-app or immediate in-app?
Yes, both in-app and the fact that in their case, a lot of their volumes are considered as ILD volumes. So they've been trying to petition the government in terms of considering their business as or their volumes as NLD volumes.
That's a good question, Manik. There are almost 60 to 74 brands right now who's been treated as a ILDO, international. And this discussion is happening from last 3 years, in fact, or 2 years, in fact, and it is up to the TRAI and the operator to take a call on it. Logically, there are lots of requirement the government has for them because they need to host their servers within India, and they need to have a user agreement within India entity. So there are lots of legal aspect which somehow they need to comply with, where they still struggling to do that. So I don't think there is any challenge because it is not going to happen because they are talking about this for last so many years. As far as the in-app is concerned, definitely in-app is always there in almost all the app, like whether it's any shopping app or like Amazon or Flipkart. Anyway, this in-app notification options are always available. But the criteria for user experience or the customer trust is always SMS. SMS is treated as a more on a trust factor because I really want to wait. If I use my credit card, I want to receive SMS. And it is quick and it is secure also. It doesn't require data. It goes over GSM band. There are so many points. In fact, people having
this app are already having in-app option, they still prefer to use SMS because the conversion ratio is much higher over SMS as compared to the in-app. And if you know, there are multiple ways of authentication still available as we speak, whether it's a mobile identity or a flash call, you name it, or Google Authenticator. There are all n number of options are still available in the market from last so many years. But the question is adoption. You know, like most of the enterprise believe that the SMS is a faster and ubiquitous way to deliver and receive a message, and it can have a better conversion ratio through SMS.
Sure. Thank you, and all the best for the future.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Parab Sidwani from Sahasrar Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, congratulations on a very excellent quarter. I have just a few very basic questions. First of all, what is the effective tax rate that we should assume?
Yeah, so the effective tax rate should be between 15% to 18%, depending on, so we are working out of multiple geographies, and different geographies have different tax regimes. So it's difficult to kind of pinpoint at a particular tax rate, but yeah, you can take it at the higher side at 18%.
Okay. And what do you mean by net revenue retention exactly?
Essentially, net revenue retention is the customers, the existing customers in the prior period, how they have fared in the existing period.
Okay, so if it goes to 120, means it goes beyond 100%, that means they have increased their revenue. Yeah. Okay. And is there a relation between mobile network operators and the headcount? I mean, in the presentation slide, there was at different geographies, the number of MNOs and the employees. So,
no, that slide essentially we're trying to highlight our global playbook strategy, wherein we're trying to highlight that. So we sit in between an operator or the infrastructure provider and the enterprise. So we're trying to just kind of highlight the global diaspora and how are we spread across and the kind of relationship that we share with operators globally.
Okay. One more. I think within that particular slide, there is number of firewall deployment, we did in different part of the world.
Yeah. And just this one last question. Most of the most of the newer companies are trying to move their communications to WhatsApp. And I just want to understand, what is the barrier to entry for communications on WhatsApp for other players in the market, and what is our competitive advantage for the same?
See, there are multiple CPaaS players in India and abroad also. You know, like we are a partner of Facebook, and we are, authorized partner of Facebook and Meta actually. So if you talk about, you cannot just go and get a license with Meta that you can build, WhatsApp API. You really need to go and project yourself that you can handle customer, you have a decent amount of customer, you have a decent amount of base, you know. So I think there are only few number of people in India who got that BSP license, which is like authorized Meta partners. So that is one thing. As far as the new eight companies moving to WhatsApp, it all depends how much they want to spend. You know, like WhatsApp is 55 paisa as compared to 10 paisa SMS. So again, as I said, it all depends on use case to use case. If there is a use case which required customer support, and WhatsApp for that, WhatsApp is the best option to go for. If it is a OTP authentication, then SMS is the best option to go for. If it's an alert, it's a SMS, right? You don't want to send alert at 55 paisa, rather which you can send it 10 paisa or 12 paisa. So that is the whole idea. It all depends on the enterprise to select how best they want to engage with their customer and how much they want to spend. We as a company are providing channel of communication. We have all the channels available within our portfolio. Let the customer decide how they want to communicate. So our role is very simple. We provide channels. It's up to the customer to select which channel they want to communicate with.
Thank you.
More they use WhatsApp, more revenue will generate, to be honest.
Thank you. Mr. Parab, We may request that you return to the queue for follow-up questions as there are several participants waiting for their turn. Next question is from the line of Chirag Kachadia from Ashika Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Congratulations on this set of numbers. Sir, I have a few questions. Like, what
your voice is not very clear.
Now it's audible, sir?
Yeah, now you're better.
Yeah. Sir, I have a few questions with respect to your business. What are other new areas other than this you can able to grow?
The voice is breaking, sir. It's not very clear.
Now it's proper, sir?
Yeah.
Am I audible?
You are.
Yeah. So what are other growing area for us other than this SMS, WhatsApp and this alert services?
So I think there are lots of channels which we already have as a part of our offering. Email is also one of that, and we do see good traction over email business. I think we are also now working in different areas, something like especially into UCaaS, which is more on a voice solution. And we want to focus more on mobile identity because we believe that the authentication in coming years down the line for a banking segment requires more better way to authenticate and seamless authentication, and probably mobile identity can add lots of value during that time. And keeping that in mind, we want to add two portfolio enhancement within our product, especially one in voice and one in mobile identity.
Okay. And sir, like Facebook gradually acquiring their entire ecosystem related to their business line. So they acquired Instagram and the WhatsApp and all. So such a large M&A which changed the industry structure entirely of communication, does it make any impact on our business model? Because they do backward integration continuously. So
it's a good for us, right? It's a single vendor agreement, and if it's a Facebook Meta, I have a master agreement with Meta. Whatever they acquire, by default, we can start serving those customers. It's an advantage for us. You really don't need to go and sign an agreement with WhatsApp or Instagram separately. Rather than just one agreement with Meta is enough to serve them.
Okay. And sir, who are other players in India and globally similar to what the service you provide?
We are very clear from day one. You know, like I just wanted to make this thing again. I want to clarify why we are different. There's a one blog I've also written today that what is the difference between global CPaaS player and domestic CPaaS player. When we talk about single, let's take a simple example. Just for knowledge, I'm sharing this to everyone out here. If I onboard one OTT player, whether it's a Facebook, Google or anybody, they are not using my connectivity only for India. They use my connectivity for more than 30, 40 countries, which means that I get additional 40 opportunity with the same customer to serve them in various parts of the world, and we generate revenue not just from one country, but from multiple countries. Tomorrow, if anything happened to that customer or there's some regulation change in a particular country, it is not going to impact me completely. Just one country will go away. But apart from that, we have another 35 country or 36 country. Almost all the global player, when you talk about Sinch, Tulio, MessageBird, Root Mobile, Infobip, we are well placed in terms of our connectivity. We have a platform which is connected with almost 900 plus operators globally. Any enterprise coming and using our platform, they don't need to go to do a tie-up with domestic partners to have a domestic termination. One connectivity can give them 100% coverage is what the global enterprise are looking at right now. We compete with all these names which I mentioned as a global partner, a global concept. Every market we go, we will definitely get a domestic player. If I operate from 20 countries, which means that every country we operate from, there must be one domestic competitor we are going to have, whether it's a UAE or in Colombia or in Nigeria or in UK. We will have some domestic player. And we do compete with some domestic player based out of India, and we have seen that growth in our market share in Indian market from last 2 years or 3 years down the line. We believe that what we offer to our customer is not just one connectivity, but global connectivity. And that is a unique thing we have as a company. Why we are different than others? There are so many questions keeps on coming about platform play and other stuff. I have a platform. I have an operator-driven solution, which is SMSC, we acquired through TeleDNA. We got a firewall. complete SMSC of Idea is being handled by TeleDNA. We have deployed our SMSC with Ericsson, with Nokia. They are my customer through TeleDNA. We have deployed our firewall in 10 countries. And one of the Indian operator also is my customer using my firewall. So capability of a platform play we already have. In a very large scale. We understand there is a separate team who are driving my entire operator business. We are not merging along with Route Mobile. There is a 365 squared. Their KRA and KPIs are very simple. You go and close only operator-driven requirement. There are n number of RFP coming every single quarter where we are participating to support operators for the requirement either on firewall or on SMSC or on DND, database kind of solutions. So that's what the whole idea, like if you talk about email as a stack, probably we have our own email stack through SendClean acquisition where many people, they use our platform, whether it's a bank or enterprise customer. So that is another platform we have up in-house. Entire platform for WhatsApp, RCS, or even for Viber has been built in-house. So we don't want to just say that, okay, we are this, okay, we are happy what we are doing. But there is lots of things we are doing as a company where we believe that in coming year, combined synergy of all the products coming together will add lots of value. And that's why we are very bullish to give even 40-50% kind of guidance to the market, because we believe our strength and what exactly we are building for the future.
Thank you. Mr. Chirag, we may request that you return to the question queue for the follow-up question as there are several participants waiting for their turn. Next question is from the line of Dave from Invest Yadnya. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible? Hello?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. So congrats on a good set of numbers. I wanted to ask one question. So how are we looking at the acquisition part? So in this year and going forward also.
Dave, it's a good question. Definitely as a company, as a CEO of this company, I definitely want to do some kind of a tuck-in acquisition which will add to my product offering. I will definitely look into something in mobile identity or voice. Are the two areas which we are working right now, and I think we have shared this information last quarter also. We are in process of doing some due diligence, and probably very soon, once the due diligence is done, probably we'll announce something in this space.
Okay, thank you. That was all for Marsha.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Mohana Kumar, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Congrats on a great set of numbers, team. I have one quick question around the whole ideology behind the share buyback that has been done, and even the thoughts around increasing the dividends per share. So you had raised a lot of capital earlier in the year for the purpose of acquisition. So was the buyback done because the share price had pulled back and saw that as an attractive opportunity to buy some shares at a much lower price than you had raised the equity earlier, or was there some other thought around it? And what is the, again, what's the ideology behind even the dividend, returning cash to shareholders via dividends?
Sure. So I think we articulated that earlier in the call. As part of our capital allocation perspective, we raised the money through QIP, and thereafter we've done a few acquisitions. We've done a fair bit of geographical expansion. Now we are fairly comfortable in terms of the geographical expansion that we have done, and we are now looking at integrating the platforms, creating a unified platform across all the entities that we've acquired. So that is as we speak, that work out that integration is kind of going on. There are a few tuck-in acquisitions that we are looking at. So in terms of the capital commitments that we have for some of the acquisitions that we have done, and the potential acquisitions that we're looking at, we realized that we have some surplus cash, and hence the buyback was kind of conceptualized. It was through an open market route, and the total maximum size of the buyback is about 120 odd crores. On top of that, the business also generates a lot of free cash. Considering, I mean, the next one and a half, two years, we're looking at integrating various platforms. We're looking at doing few tuck-in acquisitions and making that as part of our unified platform play. We don't envisage the use of that excess cash at this point in time. And hence, we're looking at this buyback program that we're doing, plus the dividend payout, which will be a percentage of the free cash that's being generated over the next couple of years.
Got it. Thank you. And just another question to follow up around the Massivian thing. You know, there's been a lot of discussions around that, but I know you had clarified this to some extent during the last call too, but just a quick question around the billable amount per transaction is much lower at Massivian, but the margins are higher. Could you throw some light on that? And also, just as a follow-up on that, you have a pretty big sales team based out of the U.S. So is there an opportunity for cross-sell to the Spanish-speaking folks within the U.S. also, leveraging the Massivian base?
Yeah, so when we're talking about the Americas, essentially, I mean, a large part of that sales team is in and around Colombia, Peru, in the Spanish regions itself. And that's the reason why we have kind of expanded into some of the adjoining Spanish markets. So definitely that, we'll be leveraging the existing sales arm of Massivian to expand into some of the newer markets. And we've done a bit of hiring in some of those newer markets as well. Coming to your first query around the margins. So if you look at Massivian is out and out a deep enterprise play where they're deeply penetrated with who's who in terms of enterprise. They have over 55-60 or close to 55-60% market share in markets like Colombia. They would be second largest player in Peru. They have kind of built a very robust tech stack, which they are offering it to enterprises, and enterprises are using Massivian's platform across various channels, right from SMS, voice, email, and even the in-app notification. So, because of that superior tech stack and a very robust team, I mean, both in terms of sales, in terms of the account management team, they are able to command very high margins from enterprises. And enterprises across the world, I mean, even in markets like India, tends to be higher gross margin. So they are able to command that kind of gross margin. Just that there is some amount of seasonality that's there, where Q1 and Q2 calendar year for them tends to be relatively weaker, and Q3, Q4 happens to be their best quarters. Again, taking it back to the last quarter, and even in this quarter, there is some degree of impact in terms of EBITDA because of that seasonality. But heading into Q3, Q4, we believe Massivian will be firing from all cylinders.
Thank you. We have come to the end of question and answer session. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Rajdeep Kumar Gupta for closing comments.
Thanks. Thank you, everyone, for joining our earnings call. If you have any question, you can reach out to our investor relationship team. We are happy to answer all your questions. Thanks once again. Have a nice evening. Take care.
Thank you for attending the conference call. If you have any further queries, please send an email to investors@routemobile.com or salman@conceptTPR.com. Have a great day. Goodbye.